would you stand? Has it been a pretty decent week? Yes. All righty. I want you to tell somebody nearby why it was a decent week. Go. I love it when you move about and make it the family of God. I know. You can just click to it, too. There we go.
Our series is entitled Rush, and that series has been taking us on a journey where we have been learning about learning to listen to God. How does God speak? How does He try to speak to us? And we have been kind of unpacking some ideas or some thoughts, trying to figure out how we can best hear God on a regular basis. And doing that, we've created this for you, this thing. We've called it the Marble Rush Raceway, and it was inspired in some ways by something that we saw, like often happens, on a YouTube video. And so this is kind of what that looks like if we'll run this week's race.
Three more qualifiers to go to decide who goes on to the San Marble Rally here in 2017. Deep Ocean, Pollo Loco, Glassy, Blazing Fireball, Tarantula, Summer Sky, and White Widow in the gates. And it is White Widow leading the way, but look at that charge coming back there from Glassy. Immediately right up on for the lead. It's going to be those two fighting. Remember, the top four advance. That's all you need. But you've got to get in that top four. One wrong move, you could get beached or caught on something midway through the course. We already saw that in the first couple of heat races. Now also challenging up there is Summer Sky. She had a good run in last year's San Marble Rally. Pollo Loco had some successes last year as well. Now up into third, taking the high line. Oh, and they actually collide in force. Oh, and several of them get caught back there. And it's all happening so quickly. And it looks like coming out of it, Summer Sky is going to be the leader. Right back behind, is that Glassy? I think it is. It's either Glassy or Deep Ocean. I'm pretty sure it is. Now Deep Ocean into second place. Glassy retakes second, but it will be Summer Sky winning the way. Who's going to get that final spot? And it's Pollo Loco. Summer Sky, Deep Ocean, Glassy, and Pollo Loco will advance. Blazing Fireball, White Widow, and Tarantula did not qualify. Those back two, as you saw, got stuck a little bit.
So after we saw that, we thought, what a great illustration of how God works in our life. And I'll explain that again in a minute. But each week, we've been featuring a marble race here live. Next week is a big week, because next week, each one of you get your very own marble. And your marble gets to enter a race. It's a mega race. But the winner will emerge and actually get to race in the finals against all of the heat winners up until this point. And so next week's a biggie. You don't want to miss it. You get a marble. Your marble will be duly cataloged, and you'll get to market, and it will actually take place in a race, and so it's a big deal, so you make sure you're here for that. But this week, once again, we have another trial heat. This would be week four of our trial heats. Richard, if you wouldn't mind, come on up here and join me, and we'll introduce the contestants, and you'll call the... You'll call the race as it unfolds, right?
Sunday, rolling thunder, pouring rain, great balls of fire at the Thunderdome at the Church of 434 for the next installment of the Race of the Century. Get your tickets today.
Dude, that was intense.
That was pretty good. Far more frightening than I thought it was going to be. All right. Let's go ahead and introduce this week's contestants. This is a black marble.
Dark Knight.
A white marble.
Yogurt Drop.
Are you going to be like a monster truck thing, or is this like a wrestling thing?
Well... You're on to me.
Oh, yeah. It's Hulkamania, brother.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, all right, I got
you. It's a cross.
I got you.
Hybrid.
I got you. All right. This is coffee with cream stripes.
Good to the last drop.
This is clear with blue twisty things inside.
Blue Cyclone.
Green.
Fried zucchini.
Clear with white highlights.
Drippy faucet.
Yellow with stuff.
Runny egg. Egg.
This is a copper-colored clear thing.
Copper clomp. Clomp.
Clomp.
Copper clomp.
Clomp.
I don't write them.
Clomp. All right.
Take it up with the author.
Yeah, there you go. And this is a white vanilla with like a dark chocolate stripe in there.
Fudge Ripple! Oh.
Nice. Oh, no. Oh. Did that hurt?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I did. And then, because our first week contestant we had this marble was named Nemo because it looked a little bit like Nemo. And Nemo, if you remember, had a very tragic accident.
Shattered glass.
Shattered. But we had a kid email me this week and ask if Nemo could come back. They felt bad that little Nemo got hurt and couldn't even run. And so we're going to add Nemo to the heat. You want to introduce Nemo?
Little Emo back again.
You say Emo or Nemo?
Oh, what was it? Emo?
It's Nemo.
Nemo.
You said Nemo?
Nemo.
Okay.
Evil Nemo.
You can explain the course?
Yeah, the course. The course starts out with Broken Nose, followed by Segway. Sidewinder. Last week it was Jenny, now it's Sidewinder. Into the Nail Forest. And a mash dash through Diamond Splitter into the Straightaway. Dash for the cash to Heaven's Gate.
All right.
Oh, I gotta get over here.
Are you set? All right, as always, you guys will count it down. Start at 3.
2, 1, 1.
And they're off, and they're coming down the stretch into Sidewinder. Oh, my goodness. It's fried zucchini. Whatever that thing is. I don't even know. Runny egg? I think it's runny egg. And no! Copper Clump. Copper Clump, followed by Runny Egg, and Dark Knight.
All right, so who won?
I think that's Copper Clump.
That is Copper Clump, yeah. Okay. All right, good deal.
Hard right. to tell.
Good job. Fine. All right, so Copper Clump will now be hermetically sealed in a waiting area to prevent use from any abuse, steroids, things like that, and will join Sweat Sock, Beach Blast, Storm Cloud, and Banana Split. Why am I echoing? Why am I? I didn't want to miss out on it. And we'll join them in the finals moving forward. Now, again, the question is always, why are you doing that? But by this time, a lot of folks have figured it out. They watch it online each week. They watch it on Facebook each week. And they're sending email about their favorites. But I thought as we started getting into this, what a better illustration of how our lives are. We are like marble races. And on any given day, there are thousands of emotions, choices, and decisions that seem to be colliding over and over again in our life. And it is busy, and it is fast, and it is manic. And yet we stand here week after week, we talk about it, we think about it. You have a desire to have God speak to you. And so the question is, how does the holy hush of God break through the rush, the madness, the chaos, and the collisions of stuff that's going on in your life? Because if you're not careful, while God is speaking, and we've determined He is always speaking, it gets lost in all of that noise and stuff that's just colliding. And you get to the end of the day, and you may or may not have heard Him. And so this series is about how we learn to hear God in the midst of all of that, and developing some skills and developing some ways that we really can tune into who God is. And so, once again, we continue that this morning, and we're going to look at that and explore that by looking at yet another way that God speaks to us. And today, we add to the list that we've been developing, and we're going to talk about how God speaks to other people, and how God might use you to speak to others, and how God brings into your life people that say just what need to be said, and you catch a glimpse of Him and hear His voice through them. Bow your heads and hearts, and let's pray for just a moment. Lord, we are grateful that we follow a God who speaks to us. You haven't left us alone. You haven't left us in a vacuum. You haven't left us out there on our own somewhere. But instead, Heavenly Father, You are constantly speaking. You're active. You're engaged in our lives. And God, as people, we desire to hear You. But to be honest, God, our lives are so cluttered. There are so many things going on. So many things vying for our attention. So many responsibilities that seem to crash in on us. So many things that are going on that distract us in the world around us. Our lives are chaotic. And our thoughts and emotions collide all the time. And we desperately need to be able to hear your voice. And so once again, we come to a moment where we celebrate, where we worship. And in the midst of that, we make no apologies, God. We desire to hear you. We want to hear you. We need to hear you. And so, Lord, I pray that this would be a day that once again you would speak to us, but also let us walk away with a better feel, a better understanding of how it is that you speak and how it is we can best listen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a busy season of ministry for us. And if you're a regular around here at the Church of 434, you know that. We do a lot of things through the course of the year. We do a lot of horizon ministries. And horizon ministries for us are those moments when heaven touches earth, when we take church outside the walls in some ways, where we try to impact culture, where we try to shine light into darkness and share the love of Christ. And we do that in a variety of ways all year round. But this has been an incredibly busy season. We told you last week that we were going to take some time in worship today to celebrate what God has been doing and how he works. And so just a couple of things that are going on. One, this morning we started ramping up for our Christmas season on either side of me. And you're going to hear some announcements about this later. We're getting ready. We're just a month out from the 434 Christmas store. And we'll be giving gifts to 100 teenagers here in Seminole County. Their parents will come shopping for them. They'll spend the morning with us. And they will walk out of here with gifts that are wrapped that they will give to their children in just a few weeks. That's a Horizon ministry that you guys are a part of. If you haven't been shopping yet, it's a great, great reason to go shopping in the name of Jesus. And so you guys will get to do that. But we also have just come off a couple of events that were very big events that took a lot of time and effort and a lot of you were involved in. And that happens through our pumpkins and treats and fears time of year, treats and fears we call it. And two things happen, trunk or treat and face the fear. Leanne, tell us a little bit about Trunk or Treat, and then we're going to watch a video, kind of a highlight reel of that.
Okay. Well, if you were there, you know it was crazy. The venue was different, so that accounted for a lot of the change and why it looked so much more crowded. We didn't have the big open space, but it did expand this year. The city of Longwood added a hayride to the event. They also added a movie that took place afterwards, and we got the chance to work with two other churches, so we had a total of 35 trunks. We had 17, and then Magic 107.7 was out with us, and then one church did 10 trunks, and then the other one brought in 8. And we are estimating between 500 and 600 kids were there, so a little bit more than we were used to seeing, but it was amazing. You guys are so creative, so kudos to you on your trunks. And if you were there, you know you worked hard for those 2.5 hours. There was a steady stream of children coming through, and we got to love on some really cool families, so thanks.
Take a look at the screen. Thank you. You can get a sense of how crowded it was. It was fun and a great opportunity. And so thank you guys for not only doing trunks, but for being out there to work, bringing in candy. Once again, we're excited about the partnership that we have with the City of Longwood as we continue to move that forward. But it was a good day. Also, we've just come through a season where we finished up an event called Face the Fear. Now, Face the Fear, of course, we talked a little bit about last week. I shared a letter with you that we had gotten back. Face the Fear is something that is a little bit edgier. It is a it is designed to be a scare experience for an older crowd, maybe older kids, adults, things like that. This year, our theme was the International Clown University, and we actually took that building in Longwood and we kind of turned it upside down, made it a two-level kinds of things. If you pay attention to those kinds of things, not that you should or would. But across the board on the industry side of it, Florida Haunted Houses and Orlando Haunted Houses are the big dogs out there as far as rating and reviewing and things like that. And so if you were to go and look us up, we are there. The reviews are good, by the way. Some of the headlines are, this is good old Halloween fun, great family environment created beyond description. I'm just saying clowns make me freak. Over-the-top insanity. You've let the clowns out and nothing will ever be the same. Somebody wrote, I got inside and it was, well, terrifyingly fun. The clowns had a blast scaring us, and they did. Somebody said, Face the Fear has rocked it with ICU. This is the way that a haunted attraction is supposed to be, fun, frightening, and full of surprises. I was terrified, entertained. The DVD gave us, had a spooky little movie on it as well. It was great fun and take-home swag. Your clowns be crazy. All those are out there. You can go read those. Those are on websites. They're posted publicly. We don't know who wrote them. We appreciate that. But just so you know what it was like, because we can't really show you what it was like, but we can take you inside and show you a glimpse or two of it and see what people saw. And so if you were afraid to go in, this is kind of what it looked like.
Ah! Here at the International Clown University, we also train these specialty clowns, and there are no specialty clowns more thrilling, more exciting, more daring than the Rodeo Clowns.
The room goes straight back, dead on.
So it was fun. The what happens is when people leave, what they get is a DVD. They got magnets and things like that. And what we have recreated at our Face the Fear website, and if you've ever visited it, you can see we there's videos on there of all sorts of different things that are really designed to reach a crowd that may not be your normal church crowd. The reason is because they often get missed. And so we were trying to reach into a crowd and connect with a crowd that might not come to church or hear some of the things that we wanted to share any other way. And so we created a DVD. The website I mentioned that actually has a podcast. It is a downloadable podcast. It kind of tackles head on the phenomena and the fascination that people have these days with ghost and haunting and things like that, where we really very honestly and openly talk about what that means, what it is, why you ought to be worried about it, what it's not, and how it's not what you see on TV. It generates quite a bit of hate mail, by the way. We do get quite a bit of hate mail on that. We really do offend some people with that, and that's okay. I mean, it's out there to stretch and challenge, but it's under the website that we've got. But we also give a DVD out that inevitably is designed to get people to enter into a conversation, if they want to, about fear and the things that scare them. And we suggest to them that the way to tackle fear is faith. This year in particular, we built on the theme that we needed to eliminate the space in your life to be afraid and fill it with something else. And that was the focus of the DVD. It's amazing. We will hear back to the spring from people who take this home and watch it. It is in their control. It's up to them. They can watch it. They can throw it away. They can do whatever they want to with it. But if they watch it and they want to engage us, we give them the opportunity to reach out, and we'll respond. And we respond very, very quickly. As a result, over the years, they continue to respond. They respond much faster than they used to. And we hear quicker. And so last week I shared with you the letter that was written by somebody from over on the coast that came over. I did follow up with them even this week. They attended First Baptist Church of Daytona Beach. And so we're excited to kind of connect them there. They made a decision to follow Jesus. And so we were very excited to be a part of that, a small part of that, but part of that conversation. We've gotten a lot of email. Let me give you just a couple of highlights out of that. Certainly, with great sensitivity to the people who wrote it. One person wrote, "You scare people are great. I found your information on dealing with fear very helpful. I need to eliminate the space I have left in my life for fear. I think I'll approach the holidays by doing things for others this year." Some other things in there, but an interesting approach. Someone else wrote this: "Thank you for telling me that fear can be met with faith. I'm exploring some things on your website that I found about Jesus. I'm going to get back to you with you. I have questions," which is great. And so there's an open-ended conversation now that's happening. Someone else wrote this: "I'm now a part of the Jesus family. I attended a church in Tampa. But as I watched your DVD, I realized I'd never made the choice to follow Jesus and live for him. I was afraid a lot more than I should have been. I'm trying to take care of that. And so someone who has been, again, followed up, and haven't heard back from them yet, but we'll continue to follow up with them on that decision they've made. Someone else wrote this: I went to the church website, couldn't believe a church scared me so bad. I heard you say something when you were teaching that I needed to quit kicking the tires of faith and get in the car. That was the kick in the butt I needed. I want you to know I just got in the car. And then someone else wrote this: fear is something that we all deal with. We live in a scary world. Thanks for a real practical way of thinking about it. I just love what you guys do. And those conversations will continue on their terms, and we will try to connect them with Jesus' terms and see what we can do. But that's why we do Face the Fear. So in 2 weeks, we built it out. In 3 days, it was torn down. And over 5 nights, we opened it up. And once again, sold out nights and allowed people to get an opportunity to have fun, to do what people do in the fall this time of year, to tie in thematically and tell a fun story, and then also share the gospel. And that will continue. And so we're excited about that. That kind of kicks off what is a very busy holiday season for us. But you guys are all a part of that. And so we wanted to make sure that we celebrate what God is doing as we kind of take church outside the walls. Yesterday, Richard, our students will be sporting around in these T-shirts. Want to tell them about it, Richard, the shirts? Okay. Tell them about the shirt.
Okay, I'm going to tell you. Well, thank you for coming out. Those of you who came out to the fundraiser breakfast yesterday, we had a great time, raised a lot of dollars for our students to go to camp next year at Ridgecrest, which will be going to a mission camp, and that's kind of what our students do for the last several years. And throughout the year, we just did an event to help caring for the keys, and we have a lot of those kinds of activities because we believe that that's in our DNA. So we put together a T-shirt for their students. If you came yesterday, you saw it. It's got Student Ministry of Church 434, and on the back it has The Church Has Left the Building, which is kind of an awesome phrasing for not only our student ministry but our entire church, because we just saw videos on this. We are definitely outside the building, okay? And that's just kind of the engagement that we want to have to our students, to give them the understanding that, you know, our faith needs to have some feet with it. And if we're going to make a difference in the world, in our world, wherever that may be, we need to get out of the stained glass and move out into our community and touch people in that kind of way. So that's just a T-shirt kind of statement to say maybe it will, you know, encourage people to ask us a question or two about what that exactly means. And also, it's one of the more enjoyable phrases our pastor likes because he's an Elvis fan. So instead of Elvis has left the building, the church has left the building. So that's a little bit of background on that. Okay. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thanks for taking care of business. All right. And so we took an extended time in celebration worship today to let you know what we have been doing, what you have been doing. You contribute to that. You're making a difference. You make an impact. And so once again, we're excited about the upcoming Christmas season and all that God is going to do. Let's stand together and continue our celebration this morning. Thank you.
this moment here to believe that there is nothing left to fear, and that you alone are high above it all.
Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 is where we're going to be. We're going to look at verses 7 through 12 as we talk about who do you listen to. This is session number 5 in our Rush series as we continue to talk about how God speaks to us. And so I'm kind of excited. I just looked at my watch. I don't know how we're running so far ahead of schedule. I got an extra hour, so I'm going to add a few points. Amen. Add a few points and kind of get going. Actually, don't panic. We'll keep it moving here this morning. We've been doing a lot of things and fitting a lot of things in to what we're doing this morning. If you have your Bibles open, let's follow along with me, if you would. Verse 7 says this: For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, His prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and that's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. Paul writing to Timothy, powerful words. You may be familiar with them. And I get so excited when I hear the end of that passage, where I know whom I have believed and convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. And even As you've just seen, we have some folks that have now entrusted who they are and their eternity to Jesus by making the decision to believe, trust, and follow, and we're excited about that. That's a part of the celebration that we do. And one of the things that happens when you make that choice is you discover that God wants to speak to you. And so that's what we're going to unpack a little bit more this morning as we think about how God works and how God wants to communicate, particularly through people today. There was a man that was walking down the street when he was approached by a dirty, shabby-looking man who had fallen on some hard times, obviously, and he asked the man for a couple of dollars for dinner. The man hesitated, took out his wallet, gave him $10, and said, "If I give you this money, are you going to take it and buy something to drink with it instead of dinner?" And the man said, "No, I had to stop drinking years ago. I couldn't afford to do it." And then the man thought as he looked at the guy, and he goes, "Well, are you going to use it to go fishing instead of buying food?" The man said, "Man, I don't have any time to waste fishing. I need to spend all my time trying to stay alive." And the guy said, "Well, are you going to use this for something like hunting equipment?" And the guy looked at me and said, "Are you nuts? I haven't gone hunting in 20 years. And the man that gave him the $10 said, "Well, I'm not going to give you money then." He took his $10, put it back in his pocket. He said, "Instead, I'm going to take you home for a shower and a terrific dinner cooked by my wife." And the man who had fallen on hard times looked astounded and said, "Won't your wife be furious with you for doing that?" The man said, "Don't worry about that. It's important for her to see what a man looks like after he's given up drinking, fishing, and hunting." There you go. I knew there was one coming, Rick. I expected Matt to jump on that with me, too. I didn't know. I didn't know who else might get on that board with that. Apparently, this man's wife had been speaking into his world, and he just didn't want to hear it. And so this was a good way to kind of make that point. Together, as we started this series, I challenge you to pray a bold prayer. It comes out of 1 Samuel 3:9, and the prayer is simply this: "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And we have talked about how God speaks. We talked about that holy hush of God, his voice, what it sounds like. And we've discovered so far that he speaks through his word, through moments and opportunities that he gives us. We've discovered that he speaks through dreams and visions, and what that looks like and how that works in our life. And today we add to that by talking about how he speaks through people. And so before we talk about God, let's talk to him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it is still amazing to us that you desire to speak to us, regular people trying to do life. Sometimes we do it better than others. Some of our moments are better than others. And yet, Lord, for those who have made the decision to believe and trust and follow you, we find ourselves on the journey of a lifetime, the adventure that takes us beyond anything we had dared hope for, and we discover that we're not alone. Lord, I pray for each person in this room that, one, they have made that decision to accept Jesus, to become a part of that family of God, as we heard even some of the letters back from Face the Fear earlier. But, Lord, I also pray for those who have already made that decision, I just pray that you would teach us to pray that prayer and help us to listen. And today, expand our thoughts just a little bit and challenge us on how we listen and who we listen to and who we give that opportunity to speak into our lives. And so for these next few moments, God, I pray that you would just show us something that would challenge us, change us, and allow us to take the next step forward, becoming the best version of ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The date is February 20th, 1962. John Glenn sits on top of a 95-foot-tall intercontinental ballistic missile at Cape Canaveral. After 11 delays, capsule commander Scott Carpenter uttered what is a famous phrase that you've heard many, many times, and it's simply this: "Godspeed, John Glenn." And the Mercury 6 blasted off from Launch Complex 14, right off our own coast. It reached a velocity of 17,544 miles per hour, orbited Earth three times, and splashed down 4 hours, 56 minutes, and 23 seconds later. John Glenn was an instant hero, the first American ever to orbit the Earth. But even heroes need help. Epic lives, more often than not, have epic backstories that are even better. And their lives are dotted and lined with an amazing cast of characters. that helped make that hero the hero that we know them to be. The greatest challenge in that day that NASA was facing wasn't getting man into space, it was getting him home again. And that's where Katherine Johnson entered the equation. Calculating Glenn's reentry into Earth's atmosphere took one of the brightest and best mathematical minds, and Katherine was the best. Now, it was 1962, and some of you are familiar with the story. It was a white world, and Katherine was a woman of color. Langley had decided and designated that black and white restrooms needed to be instituted. Women didn't work with men, so although she was one of the best and the brightest, she also was going to have some challenges to overcome if her voice was ever going to be heard. At the same time, to complicate the story even more, NASA had just plugged in the first IBM computer and was trying to get it to work and work on the calculations, and they were having trouble making it happen. John Glenn saw the numbers that came out of the computer and decided that he trusted the human mind more than the computer, which prompted him to utter what should be the most famous phrase in flight history. We know some of them, by the way. Godspeed, John Glenn, we know that. We know one small step for man. We know failure is not an option. Houston, we have a problem. All of those phrases, I think, fail and fall far back in comparison to the phrase that John Glenn uttered prior to his first space flight. After he saw the numbers that the IBM computer kicked out, this is what he said, and I quote, "Get the girl to check the numbers." He was not going to get on board until Katherine Johnson had looked at the numbers. Perhaps NASA could have found someone else to run those numbers. They probably could have gotten someone else to double-check them. But stay with me for a minute, because if Katherine didn't do what she did, John Glenn may not have been able to do what he did. And if John Glenn hadn't orbited the Earth, then we would have never aimed for the moon. The Soviet Union would have won the space race. They might have even won the Cold War. The point is simply this. People that we are never heard of, that we've never heard of, have changed the trajectory of our lives because other people were willing to listen, and our lives are better because of that. That's the way it works. Now, Katherine's story, by the way, and many of you know this, has been told. It's been made into an Oscar-nominated film, which was fantastic, Hidden Figures. Also, she was awarded at age 97 the Presidential Medal of Freedom, very deservedly. But behind every John Glenn, there's a Katherine Johnson. And it's true in Scripture, too. Behind Moses, we find an Aaron. Behind King David, we find a Benaiah. Behind Esther, there is a Mordecai. Behind Timothy, there's a Paul. And we just read where Paul is encouraging Timothy to do what needs to be done and reminding him of who he is called to be. Anybody ever heard of C.S. Lewis? Narnia. Wrote about a lion. Anyway, a great theological thinker. Do you know why C.S. Lewis went to church? It wasn't because he loved the songs. He thought they were, and I quote C.S. Lewis, they were fifth-rate poems set to sixth-rate music. It's kind of harsh, isn't it? It's not because he loved the sermons. It's not because he liked the people, because the truth is he didn't. He went to church because he believed if he didn't, he would fall into what he called solitary conceit. And he knew that God had not designed or made us to do life on our own. And I want you to know that God puts people in our lives not to just overcome solitary conceit, but to also overcome solitary confinement. There's something tragically wrong with any follower of Jesus that thinks they can do it on their own and they don't need to connect with the body of Christ. Now, C.S. Lewis is a great example of it. He didn't like it, but he did it because he knew he needed to do it. And because he did it, it made him a much more likable guy. Brilliant thinker, brilliant writer, who needed the other people to round him out and make him who he needed to be. He uses people to get you where you need to be. He uses people to get me where I need to be. He uses other people in our lives to make us, what we prayed earlier, the best version of ourselves. Now, before I get off the space kick a minute, do you know, if you go back and read history, it took over 400,000 people to get man on the moon. 400,000 individuals worked to put man on the moon. It took a 26-year-old mission controller named Steve Bales, 26 years old, with responsibility of taking people through mission control and making it happen. I took a 24-year-old computer whiz named Jack Garman who memorized every single possible alarm code so he could recite it just like that if something went wrong. Every alarm code. It took Robert Carlton, who was in charge of fuel consumption monitoring. He was the guy, if you know the story about man landing on the moon, that after the module had traveled through space with the Apollo spacecraft 240,250 miles, announced, made the proclamation that they only had 60 seconds of fuel to get the module down, or they would have to abort. After that long trip, he had calculated it so precise that he knew they had less than a minute of fuel left, or if they couldn't pull it off, they were going to be done. How should I be that guy making that call? And don't forget Eleanor Foraker. May not know her, but she is the lady. She is the seamstress who designed the spacesuit. Her worst moment was when the astronauts decided to start jumping around on the moon. She literally went almost into the vapors, they said, praying to God that the seams would hold. And she made the statement out loud, these were not designed to jump around in. I mean, what were they thinking giving spacesuits to astronauts, huh? Right? They're going to jump around in a bunch of little kids on the moon. Four names out of 400,000, but you get the point. Your life has been impacted and touched by people, and that is not an accident. It's the way that God designed us to live. He designed us to live in community, and that means that he has designed people to be able to speak into your word and into your world, into your orbit, on his behalf. And so here's the real question. Who are you listening to? Who do you listen to in your world? Are you listening to the people that God wants you to listen to? Are you listening to people who are saying what you want to hear? Are you listening to people who are speaking truth and godly things into your life? Or have you surrounded yourself with a bunch of knuckleheads who are just blathering to no end and saying nothing that's building or useful? See, you get to make the choice who you listen to. You get to make the choice of who speaks into your world. You get to make the choice of who you listen to, who becomes the noise in your life, who becomes the noise that gets through the clutter, who becomes that noise that breaks through all that clamoring around in your life, and who gets to the front. Who do you have in your life that you listen to? And then the better question is, if you're listening to them, do they speak for God? And have you given them the freedom to do that? I want you to know that God desires to use people to speak in your lives, and believe it or not, he might want to use you to speak in the lives of other people. And if you're listening, God is speaking. And it can come from surprising sources. So I'm going to show you two things that are in the passage, and again, we won't hit them long. But I want you to notice, first of all, the case of Timothy timidity that's happening here. The case of Timothy timidity that's happening here. Verse 7. For the Spirit of God doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. I mean, that's a great verse. Good verse. Some of you have quoted it. I heard people quote it actually in Face to Fear, going through it actually. But for Timothy, it was a word from God that was given to him through Paul. Timothy is an early leader when it comes to things of faith. In some ways, people say he is a father of our faith. But he's a great example of someone who needed desperately someone to speak into his world. And when you read about Timothy, you begin to see that. Now, it's tough to typecast, and when you get to heaven, you can ask him and you can talk to him. But let me roll the dice and give it a shot. I think Timothy was more of a feeler than a thinker. Just the impression I get when I read his stuff. Perfect evidence of it. When he parted ways with Paul, he cried. That's sad, right? I mean, I have friends, I have guy friends. A man hug is one thing. Crying takes it to the next level. Realistically, if you walk out this morning and hug me, I'm probably not going to cry when you get in the car and go away. I love you. I love you. There's no doubt about it. But I'm not going to cry because you're leaving the parking lot. That does not evoke emotion in me. Matter of fact, sometimes I'm glad you're gone. It means I can get to lunch quicker. Get out. Go. Let's go. But this is a moment where when you read about Timothy and saying goodbye to Paul, I mean, he was so overracked with emotion that Paul was leaving and he was going to be kind of by himself. He just cried. And again, I think it just speaks to who Timothy was. I think he struggled with insecurity, which is one of the reasons he's afraid when Paul was leaving. I mean, case in point, Paul writes to the church at Corinth. And if you go back and read the letter, it's kind of funny, but Paul writes, when Timothy comes, don't intimidate him. things that make you go, what kind of guy was Timothy after all? I mean, I think Timothy struggled. Some of you do, by the way. Some of you are strugglers by nature. And the word timidity comes from a Greek word, kind of like Delilah, but it's only used one time in the New Testament. And it means cowardice. So Paul's writing to Timothy, he said, God didn't give you a spirit of being a coward, son. I mean, it's the inability to face danger without showing fear. It's a lack of grit. It's frayed nerves. It's backing down when you should be showing up. And for Timothy to become who he was supposed to be, God had to use Paul to speak into his world and say, son, look, you're not created. God doesn't live in you. God doesn't dwell in you so you can be a coward. And he doesn't hold back. He uses a tough word. So basically he says, come on, little camper. Let's get this thing going. You need to toughen up. And that's who God used in Timothy's life. So what do you have a case of? Do you have a case of the timid tremors? Are you just afraid of everything? Is life kind of scaring you, rattling you pretty good right now? Turn on the news, get scared. Hear what's going on in the world sometimes? Get scared. Driving down I-4, plane lands over your head. Get scared. I mean, there's a lot going on in the world that can scare you right now. Do you have the busy burnouts? Are you burning the candle at both ends? You're burning bright for a while, but when that flame meets in the middle, you're in deep, deep trouble, and you know it. You just can't stop it. You feel like you're running too fast. You feel like you're a hamster caught in a little wheel, and nobody's noticing the rat anymore. That's you. Maybe that's what your struggle is. Maybe you have the selfish sight lines. Maybe your sight lines are just so narrow focused on what you think and what you want and how you feel that you can't notice anything else going on around you. And you have convinced yourself, incorrectly, by the way, but you have convinced yourself that life really is all about what you want, what you think, and what you feel. Life has never been about you. But sometimes selfish sight lines become a problem for people, and you can't think outside yourself no matter what. Maybe you have the stuffed up knows-it-alls. And it means you're just not teachable anymore. You've heard it all before. You know the God stuff. You know the God thing. You don't want to hear it. Come on, quit wasting my time and telling me about God, 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 God. And what I want you to know is you need to hear about God, 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 God. Because God changes you from the inside out. But maybe you've got a point where you know it all. And an unteachable spirit means that you're not going to learn and you're not going to grow. Here's what I know about life. You quit learning the day you clock out. And hopefully, you get to learn right up until that last moment. And that's the journey that God places you on. And so you probably have a case of that. You're probably a basket case. And you need someone to speak into your world. We all do. And God may be trying to speak to you through another person. On a side note, let me go back to Timothy for just a minute because I was picking on him a little bit earlier. Let me tell you historically how Timothy died to tell you how important this is. Timothy died at 80 years of age trying to stop a pagan parade, an anti-God parade. And Timothy stood out in the streets and tried to stop the parade. And began preaching to the people that were doing the parade. As a matter of fact, they drug him through the streets and they stoned him. He was no longer timid. He listened to God. If you're going to go, he went out swinging. And so the question is that we all struggle with is, if you're willing to deal with the fact that you are a case and you need to listen to other people, are you willing to listen who speaks into your world? And then the bigger question is, are they making you better or are they making you more godly? Because see, I contend that you have people speaking in your world, and I contend that you have people that you're listening to. The real question is, are they making you better? And are they making you godly? And have you surrounded yourself and made sure that in your life you had a steady volume of someone, somebodies that can speak for God? That you trust enough to know that no matter what, they really have not just your best interest at heart, but before they have your best interest at heart, they have God's best at heart. And the desire for you to be God's best. Because if so, I promise you this, they're going to say some things sometimes that stretch you way beyond your comfort zone. They're actually going to say some things that every once in a while are going to hack you off. They're going to make you a little bit angry. When they're saying it, you're not necessarily going to like it. You're going to have to walk away and process it. You're going to have to chase it around. You're going to talk to yourself sometimes about it. Then you're going to talk to God about it. And then you may find out, you know, that's who God, you used him to speak to my life. And you're not always excited about that. Because you go, doggone it, they were talking to me. But God brings people along that will speak into your world. And one of the challenges for you is to find people that you can trust enough that will be godly people. That will be honest enough to tell you sometimes, you know, I'm going to give you my opinion, but I'm going to tell you what I think God would be saying. And I mean, and I've had conversations with some of you. Well, if for me, I would probably do this, but I think God would probably have you do this. Because I'm honest enough to tell you, you know, I struggle with it just like you do. But I desperately want to get it right, and I know you do too. And so in your life, deal with the fact that you have areas that you need help with. And you need to find people to speak in your world. Timothy did, and Paul was there. Paul had him as well. And Paul had people that spoke into his world. Peter, same way. You find the pattern throughout history, throughout Scripture. There were always people that God used to speak to others that would further out and share the message that God needed them to share. You have that same opportunity. And the advantage you have is the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and you have a filter that you can listen to that will help you process that. Don't run from that. Figure out what kind of case you are, and then listen. And then the second thing I would share with you as we wrap up is simply this. Remember the source of the source. Look at verse 9 through 11. Paul writes to Timothy, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. The grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it's now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. God does speak through people. What I would say to you is people are imperfect, so consider the source. You've never had a perfect person talk to you. You haven't. You've never met a perfect person. Yet, God uses imperfect people to speak to you all the time. So listen. As much as you might want to think that you're almost perfect, or close enough to perfect, you're not. But it also doesn't mean that God's not going to use you to speak, and God doesn't want to use you to speak truth into someone else's world. So consider the character of the person saying it. Consider if you're taking advice from someone who knows God, who walks with God, who has a close relationship with God, or considering whether you're taking the advice of someone who's just, you know, chasing their tail around the tree. Think about their character. Is it biblical what they're saying to you? Is it wise? Does it line up with the character and nature of God as you understand it, as you think they might understand it? Because you're going to meet people that know God better than you. Listen to them. It doesn't mean that you're always going to agree. It doesn't mean you're always going to take their advice. But why not listen? Because it may be what God uses to stretch you and move you outside of your comfort zone so that you do something you've never done before. Sometimes God speaks to us for us. Sometimes God speaks to us for others. The right word at the right time can echo throughout eternity. And who knows, you might actually be a person that God uses to speak to others. The key is, are you listening to God? Even in that moment where we pray that bold prayer, you've got Samuel who goes to Eli and says, Eli, are you calling me? And he goes, no. So next time say, Lord, it's you. I'm your servant. I'm willing to listen. Samuel listens. God speaks. It is that moment that we all come to where we make a decision. Are we willing to listen to God? Are we going to listen to someone else? Because there's always someone out there that's going to tell you what to do. I guarantee it. Someone wants to fill the vacuum that you have in your life with noise. Someone wants to fill the space that you have. That's one of the reasons we even tackled Face the Fear the way that we did. And we said, you got to eliminate the space for fear in your life and fill it with something else. We suggest faith in Jesus. And I think I told you, we use the analogy of the old joke of the man that went to the therapist. And he said, doctor, there is a monster under my bed. And the therapist helped him and helped him and helped him, and it never worked. And the guy said, I'm going to have to find somebody else. And he goes to another therapist, and he goes to the other therapist, and he asks the question, and the therapist says, try this. And the man walked away, and it worked. He bumps into his original therapist months later and says, hey, how you doing with that problem with the monsters under your bed? He goes, it's gone. I went to another therapist. He told me what to do. I did it. It worked. The original therapist was intrigued and said, well, my goodness, what did he tell you to do? He said, cut the legs off the bed. No space under the bed, no monsters. In your life, there's space. What are you going to fill that space with? If you leave it alone, there are others out there that will speak into it and fill that space with all sorts of things, and it could even make you afraid. You have to make a choice of what to do with that space. Eliminate the space for fear. Fill it with something else. In your life, get rid of the bandwidth of the junk and allow your bandwidth to be filled with the things of God. And it changes everything. The story is told of Franklin Roosevelt, who often endured long, long receiving lines at the White House. Roosevelt, in honest moments, would say that he didn't like him at all, and no one ever paid attention to what he said. One day during a reception, he decided to try an experiment. And to each person who passed down the line, he shook his hand and he murmured softly and almost whispered, I murdered my grandmother this morning. Not a very presidential thing to do, is it? Yet he did that over and over again. And this is what he heard back. The guests, the dignitaries, responded with phrases like this. Marvelous. Keep up the good work. Another said, we're proud of you. Another said, good. God bless you, sir. It was not until he got to the end of the line that the ambassador from Bolivia heard the words that the president actually said. And when the president leaned in and said, I murdered my grandmother this morning, nonplussed, the ambassador leaned over and whispered in his ear, I'm sure she had it coming. And moved on. Sometimes we are so busy talking that we don't listen anymore. And sometimes we can't hear what someone's saying. We're so preoccupied with what it is we're trying to say that we don't give room for others to speak into our world. And you might be missing what God is trying to say to you. Don't. Don't. Let me give you a now what. This is how you apply what we just talked about. It's a challenge. You're already praying. Many of you are already praying, God, speak. I'm listening. You're already looking at Scripture a little bit differently. You're already trying to look at the opportunities that God gives you. A couple of simple questions. What has God been saying to you? And how did he say it? In other words, take a look and in your journals as you're kind of thinking through the week. What has God been saying to you this week? But how did he say it? You might be surprised at the variety of ways that God spoke. It might be through a song. It might be through a spoken word somewhere. It might be through a chance meeting with somebody. It might be through something that you've seen, that you've watched. It could be something that someone did for you. But ask yourself the question, how did God speak to me this week? How did I hear him this week? And then specifically about this particular study, who does God use to speak to you? Who do you have in your life that speaks for God? Write it down. And then thank God for them. Thank that person for being willing to speak. But then also recognize that this is a person that you can count on that will speak godly truth to you, and you need that. Believe it or not, that is a gift and a blessing from God that you ought to celebrate. And so thank him for it. Let's bow our heads and hearts and pray and wrap up this morning. God, we are grateful that you speak. Help us to be good listeners. Lord, we are so undeserving of all that you do for us. And yet to know that you want to speak is a bit overwhelming. Teach us to listen. Lord, for those who have made the decision to believe and trust and follow in the past days, I just ask that you would just grow them and help them very quickly to learn how to listen to you. Put people in their world that will speak for you and give them that wise counsel. Heavenly Father, for those who are still kicking the tires on this thing called faith, I pray that this might even be the day that they would get in the car, that they would make the choice to believe, trust, and follow, and begin that journey, that adventure of a lifetime. Lord, for others that are on the journey, like so many are, Lord, I pray that as we watch, as we listen even today, I pray that we would start listening to others and recognize our need to have people in our world that can speak to us. Not just good advice, but godly, wise counsel and speak for you. It's a gift that we get of being part of the family, not in solitary confinement, but in community, doing life together. And it's a gift. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, as we get ready to leave, Leanne's got some announcements she's going to give you. We have been excited about the kind of the season that